Road of Life. Brought to you by Dove, D-U-Z, Dove, the new kind of soap that does everything in your wash.
Dr. Brent, call surgery. Dr. Brent, call surgery. Dr. Brent, call surgery.
Well, my story starts BD.
BD? Before Does?
Yes, before I knew Does everything.
Well, didn't you know this new kind of soap is best?
I heard it, but I didn't believe it.
Uh-oh. What was your wash day like, BD, before Does?
Terrible. I have a big family, and that means stacks of towels to get white, work shirts to get clean, and colored rayons to keep bright. Oh, it was terrible.
Well, no wonder you changed from a lady who didn't to a lady who does. You know, Does, D-U-Z, is best. Does everything in your wash. It gives you unsurpassed whiteness for towels, unbeaten suds for cleaning work clothes, along with greater safety for nice colors.
Well, my wash day story now is AD, after Does.
Uh-huh. And how are those towels AD, after dozing?
They're the whitest white my wash line ever saw.
There's no whiter wash to be had from any soap. And how are those work shirts after dozing?
Clean as a button. And I don't scrub hard anymore.
No soap takes grimy dirt out easier than Does. What about those rayon slips, AD, after dozing?
Beautiful. Does agrees with nice colors. They last longer.
Sure, that extra safety counts. You see, Does best. Actual comparisons with 25 different wash day soaps proved it. This new kind of soap has the best combination of white washes, suds for cleaning, and safety for colors. So be a lady who does. You'll find Does best. Does everything. And now we invite you to listen to Road of Life. While Carol Brent in Hanover, Iowa, was packing to leave for Reno and a divorce, two men were finishing their suppers in the dining room of City Hospital in Chicago, Illinois. These two men, who until recently had played such important roles in her life, were not sharing the same table. The first, Carol's foster son, John, sat with a group of fellow interns at a large round table near the door. The other man, Dr. James Brent, the husband whom Carol is about to divorce, occupied a table at the back of the dining room. He ate alone. As John Brent finishes his meal, he rises from his table and starts toward the door. His father, seeing him about to leave, hurries across the dining room. He reaches him just as the boy prepares to exit from the room.
John? Oh, John.
Oh, hello, Jim.
You certainly must be preoccupied with your own thoughts.
Why do you say that?
Well, I tried to get your attention all during dinner. You looked right through me.
I didn't see you. Going out?
Yes.
Cigarette?
What do you think this is? I'm smoking.
Oh, excuse me, I didn't notice.
You must be working too hard. I get that way sometimes.
Yeah, I have been busy.
Oh, here's the lounge. You got a minute?
Yeah.
I've got a little time before I have to look in on my patient again. I'm sort of tired myself. Didn't realize it before, but I'm just beginning to feel it.
Aren't you having office hours today, Jim?
No, I had to cancel them.
Really?
Mm-hmm. A patient I've got upstairs who needs a lot of personal attention. How about those two chairs over in the corner?
Okay.
Yeah, sit down.
Hmm. Where are the newspapers?
Papers? Well, what do you want with papers? I'd like to talk.
Oh, all right. You seem tired.
I am. I was on call last night, and then this morning I had a pretty heavy operation. Spent most of the afternoon with him.
Oh, yeah. You were telling me about a special patient of yours.
Special? Oh, no, you misunderstood me. It's just that I'm taking care of an accident case. Some poor devil smashed up by a hit-and-run driver. He was in pretty bad shape, but I think he'll pull through.
That's fine.
Had him on the operating table for 3.5 hours.
So I heard.
Well, then why did you ask, John?
I just wondered what you'd say.
You're talking rather oddly, aren't you?
So your patient is going to recover, is he? You must be very proud of what you did this morning.
I am.
I was afraid you'd say that.
What else are you afraid of, John?
I'm just wondering if you have a plausible explanation for the way you behaved this morning, for the way you treated Dr. Frazier.
Oh, so that's what's got you. I should have realized it sooner.
I should think you would have realized it. Did you expect to take a poke at the chief of staff and not have the whole hospital talking about it?
I haven't given it much thought.
Well, it's about time you do.
Yes, I suppose if you say so, John, it's about time I do.
You're just jealous of Dr. Frazier. That's your trouble. You're jealous because his patients...
I don't like you talking that way, John.
If you don't like it, you can lump it.
I can't stop you from thinking what you like, but I can stop you from telling me about those thoughts.
The truth hurts, doesn't it?
I thought I taught you not to be so quick to judge circumstances you know nothing about.
What do you mean I know nothing about them? Frazier told me that
Frazier's told you a great many things, John. It's a pity.
Hi, John.
Tom Parsons is talking to you.
Hi.
Oh, good evening, Dr. Brent. I didn't see you slouch down in that chair. Say, if I'm interrupting anything,
No, that's all right, Tom. I'm just leaving.
Oh, that's a shame. There are a couple of things I wanted to ask you.
Well, let's save them for later, shall we?
Oh, certainly. They'll keep. That is all but this. I've got to tell you what a terrific job you did on that accident case this morning. I've never seen anything like it. Why, if it hadn't been for you...
Thanks, Tom. I'll see you later.
Hey, what's the matter here? He seemed awfully... Well, sort of angry.
We've just been having it out.
Having what out?
Oh, that business between Jim and Dr. Frazier this morning in the operating room. It's about the most disgusting thing I've ever heard of.
You're not kidding about that.
How it could have gone that far. How Jim could have...
Where did you hear this story? Frazier?
What of it?
Let me set you straight on a few things.
You trying to tell me that Frazier lied to me?
Well, let's say he colored the story a bit.
That's ridiculous.
How do you know? Were you there? Look, John, I was with your father the whole time. I assisted at the operation. And I saw Frazier make an absolute fool out of himself because he was so anxious to get some silly society woman onto the table and take out her appendix.
I know it was only a chronic case. Frazier told me that, but he did have the room reserved and furthermore...
Your father thought more about saving a man's life than worrying about operating room reservations.
But he didn't have to take a poke at Frazier, did he, Tom?
The only thing I marvel at is his self-control. If you'd been there, if you'd watched the spectacle Frazier made of himself, you'd have done the same thing. Only sooner.
Well, I'm not so sure about that.
Your father kept asking him to keep quiet, but no. All Frazier wanted to do was argue.
But he didn't have to lose his temper.
Listen, he lost his temper for one good reason. He was about to start a new incision. Frazier was badgering him and shouting at him. As he picked up the scalpel, Frazier grabbed his arm and swung him about.
He wouldn't do a thing like that. No one would.
Frazier did. Half a dozen people saw it, too. Well?
I feel like a heel. You should have heard the way I spoke to Jim.
I can imagine. That's nothing new, though. If you don't mind my saying it, you've been treating him like a pup for weeks now.
But you see, Frazier told me that...
Frazier's got you dizzy. It's about time you woke up. The whole place is talking about what a great guy your father is. And you're busy telling him off.
Tom, where do you suppose he went?
Why?
I've got to apologize.
That's more like it. All right, come on. He may have gone up to see that accident case.
Yeah. He mentioned something about that. Do you know what room it is?
Somewhere on the second floor.
Go ahead. Go up to the second floor. The floor nurse ought to be able to tell us where he is.
Hey, there he is.
Where?
Standing in front of the staff mailboxes down the hall.
Oh.
You want to talk to him alone?
Yeah. Do you mind, Tom?
Of course not. Let me know how you make out, will you?
Sure. And thanks for putting me straight. Jim.
Hello.
Jim, I want something.
What?
I want to apologize. I want to tell you how sorry I am for shooting my mouth off in the lounge.
Oh. Well, that's all right.
It isn't all right. Tom just told me what went on in the operating room this morning.
He did?
Jim, you had all the reason in the world to be angry.
Huh? Angry? Oh, I'm not angry with you, Butch.
Jim, what's the matter? You look strange.
I want you to read a letter I just got, John.
From Carol?
No. Here. Look at it.
What's from the chief of staff's office?
Mm-hmm.
To all members of the staff. Hey, what is this?
You'll read it.
To all members of the staff, a joint meeting of the staff and the Board of Trustees will be held 1 week from today in the boardroom of the hospital. Purpose of this meeting is to hear charges of expulsion brought against James Ellis Brandt, M.D., for a breach of ethics committed in an operating room in this hospital on the morning of... Decision as to the disposition of the case will also be made at this meeting. Signed, Grant Fraser, M.D., Chief of Staff. Hey, do you know what this means?
Well, I've had a pretty good idea.
What? He's trying to boot you out of the hospital.
That's the general drift of it. Fraser works fast, doesn't he? It happened this morning, and by tonight he has the letters out.
Well, you don't think we're going to let him get away with it, do you?
What did you say, Butch?
We're not going to let Fraser get away with this, are we, Jim?
We? You bet your life we're not, Butch.
While Jim Brent beams at what he considers the beginning of the return of his son's affections, while John grimly sets his mind toward the clearing of his father's name, Grant Fraser is doing a little planning of his own. If Jim Brent and John hope to combat Fraser's intentions, their task is almost hopeless. For at this moment, Grant Fraser is busy pulling the proper wires and strings to assure Jim's dismissal from City Hospital. Busy stacking the cards, which will guarantee his disgrace. You know, sometimes we fail to take full advantage of the good things we have. That's why I want to remind you, when you do dishes, let Dawes take over. Now, you've heard me say this new kind of wash day soap is best. It does everything. Well, in the dish pan, too, does everything.
That's a pretty big order.
Not for does. Listen, would you like suds that stand up till the last dish is done?
Mm-hmm.
Would you like really fast action on grease so there's no hard scouring?
Mm-hmm.
And with all that, would you like greater kindness for your hands? Better care than you get with any other leading wash day soap?
You bet.
Well, you get all that in does.
What a soap!
Sure, does has everything for dishes. You should see those suds. This new kind of soap blossoms into suds the instant the water hits it. And the way they tie into those frying pans is a pleasure to see. Tough grease disappears without any hard scouring. And what a honey does is for hands. Leaves them feeling wonderfully soft and smooth. You see, does best. In the dish pan, too, does everything. Be sure to listen tomorrow when D.U.Z. Does will again bring you another absorbing episode on Road of Life. This is Clayton Collier saying good day for the makers of Does, the soap that does everything in your wash. More than ever, our government needs used fat. More than ever, you need red points. Save used fat. Get 2 points per pound.